First Peter chapter 3. First Peter, the third chapter. Ladies, it's your turn. So guys, we learned that God wants us to be the lover of our wives and to be the leader and to be the, last week, learner. And if you missed that one, you really need to get hold of that one. Last couple of weeks have been kind of weird because of the weather and things. So the Lord knows. So we need to learn how to best minister to the heart and soul of our wives. And so that's an important thing. Now, ladies, it's your turn. In way of introduction, and even though we're not going to focus on this tonight, we'll probably focus on all of them. Let's go to the Lord first. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll just read the first verse, and then we'll get into it. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would just help us now tonight as we look at the ministry that you have given to the wives and mothers in our congregation, that God, you would help them to see this ministry, to take it seriously, and to follow your prescription for it. And we'll thank and praise you now for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll jump into the thing I was alluding to, but right here it says likewise. What does the word likewise tell you? Like what? Like what comes before. So let's go read what comes before. It doesn't make any sense to just jump into the middle of that and say likewise. So it starts out there in verse 18, really, as it starts this new segment. Servants, be subject to your own masters, to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Now, this means if your boss is a not nice person, then you're supposed to still, do the right thing, servants. For this is thankworthy if a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. It's easy. Anybody can do, suffer for faults and take it patiently because you've earned it. But when we're suffering, even though we're doing well, then that's a different thing. Verse 21, now it really gets into the likewise. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live righteously, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise, ye wives. Like Christ was willing to submit himself to the will of the Father, like Christ, who was willing, even though he didn't earn any of the suffering, like Christ, if life is difficult, ladies, in the situation you find yourself in, and I'm guessing since you're married to a man, every now and again you find it difficult. So, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Then it goes right into this concept. It's an amazing thing that even back in New Testament times, the problem was still basically the same. Often, women would respond to God sooner than men. And it was a quandary. What do you do? And likewise, ye wives, if your husband isn't right on page with you, listen what it says, that if any obey not the word, that's talking about your husband, all right? That if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won. We talked about this a little bit when we were talking about the guys. I'm not defending it. I'm explaining it, all right? Here is a truth. Us guys do not respond well to nagging. That's just the truth. I'm not defending it. You may be 100% right. and your expectation for us to follow through may be 100% right. But I promise you, we're going to dig our heels in anyway, because we're stubborn and we're willful and we're men. All right? And so you're not going to pull us over to your side that way, and God knows that too. And God says there's a better way to work with us men, and that is without conversation, without talking. They may be won not by speaking without the word, but by the conversation of the wife, how you behave. And that's going to be what Peter then addresses here in this passage. Let me put that little thing back on there. So that yeah, I'm used to that. So, that I'm not keeping that foam thing on, guys, so it keeps coming off. So there it is. All right, so if I say this because I really believe this is true. I think that I can show you examples of it in the Bible, but I'm not going to be able to find a verse. I'm just being honest. I'm not going to be able to find a verse that says this is true. But ladies, for centuries, have been known for having a sixth sense. They are very intuitive. You understand that word? We call it women's intuition. See, you all know it. I'm not telling you anything you didn't already know. It is a reality. It bugs us guys that it's a reality, because the real truth is you have something we don't have. You know, nobody talks about men's intuition, right? We are the clueless people in the group. That's just the way it is. I mean, we walk into a setting, and your wife already knows. She knows who you should stay away from, who you shouldn't, you know, who you shouldn't be doing business with. She knows. She'll come home, and she'll say, you know, there's something about that guy. I don't think that you ought to buy that car from him. And you think, she doesn't know anything about cars. You know? But the problem is, she's reading the situation differently than you are. She can sense somehow that he is a lion's scout. No offense to those car salesmen in here, by the way. Jason's a good car salesman. He sold me a good car. I'm just, you know, but there are some, I didn't mean to pick on car salesmen. Just pick on anything else, all right? She'll come home. Every guy who's been married for more than a day has probably had this happen, where you come home and your wife will say something like this: you need to stay away from that woman. You're like, why? And she's just saying, stay away. She senses something that you don't know. And so here's the problem. This happens regularly. I see it all of the time. And it happens in my home. It happens in yours, I'm sure, because I hear about it. I see it. You ladies think that we ought to know what you're thinking. Right? Now, we're supposed to learn about you, but you are kind of frustrated at us, and so you're not talking to us. Because and you think we should just know. We say, what's the matter, honey? Nothing. See, you ladies already know. Miss Pam said what I didn't think. Nothing. Nothing. You know, and the reason they say nothing is because how dare you not know? You get the idea? And so you guys, you ladies, you can pick up on this kind of stuff. I'm telling you, we're clueless, all right? We're not trying to play some, you know, fake game here. We really don't know. We're asking, what's the matter? We don't know. And so if our job is to learn about you, then your job is to be, if I can make up this word, learnable, is to, you know, to kind of be an open book for us. You've got to walk us through this process. We're not going to do this on our own. We're not. And it may frustrate you, it may bother you, it may insult you. You may think to yourself, if you just love me the way you should, then you'd be able to figure this out. No, we can't. I'm just being honest. Now, every now and again, you'll get one of those guys that makes us all sick, and he can do that. You know, he's really in touch with, and so he can get that done, but most of us, we just need a little help. We need you to just tell us what it is, and we want to learn. We do. I mean, for the most part, we want to learn. Now, the problem is, once you've established a habit of that kind of communication, what's the matter? Nothing. You know what we do? Okay. We take your word for it. And now you're really frustrated, right? And once you've established that kind of communication, and there's been 10, 12, 15, 17, 27 years of this, we're accustomed to not knowing. And you're accustomed to us not knowing. But the problem is, that makes neither of us doing the job that God's called us to do. Because my job is to learn, right? That's my job. So it is a challenge. I mean, I want you to understand, everything that God has challenged us to do as men, and everything God's going to challenge you ladies to do as ladies, is against your nature, all right? It takes the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God and a willingness to do things God's way in order to make these happen. They don't just happen naturally, because it is against your nature to kind of open up to us. You really want us to become intuitive. And it's, you might teach us that, and we might eventually get there somewhat, but I'm telling you, if you don't help us along the way, it's just not going to happen. It's against our nature. So, you know, if we're going to be learning, you have to be learnable. If we're going to lead, then you have to be leadable, right? I mean, it's one thing to say, well, I want my husband to lead, but if you never, in order for me to lead, then somebody has to follow, right? That's the idea of leading. The only way you're leading is if somebody's actually following. And so this becomes a difficult issue, by the way. It is difficult. Now, you know, you've heard me say that, you know, this, the man was incomplete without the woman. God said it's not good that man should be alone, and he made a woman. But by the way, can I point out that God made the woman for the man? So there's a completion together, right? So I'm not belittling the man. I'm not, belittling the woman. There's a completion together. That's the way this works. It was not good that man should be alone, so God made the perfect helpmeet for him, called a woman. And then God brings them together and doesn't make them two, but he makes them one. You see? So there's a completion together. So this process works, and God knows how to make this process work. And here's the way God describes it. Men, lead. Ladies, follow. So if we're going to lead, you've got to let us. Now, the danger of that is, every woman sitting here knows this danger, but his decisions aren't the greatest in the world. Have you ever thought that? Don't say it out loud. Just, you know, I'd like to follow him, but it's hard to follow him when he's doing brutish things. Brutish, that nice Proverbs word. Those of you who can remember from a couple of years ago when we were studying Proverbs, brutish means another word. When he's doing these things, it's really hard for you to follow. And so the problem is, now we've also got a pattern set. If we're not careful, we set a pattern early on in marriage. And so this pattern is, I will follow if he leads me where I want to go. You get the idea? Which basically means he's never leading. Do you understand that? You're being Obama. You're leading from behind. And that's not a good situation. It doesn't help him do what God wants him to do, and it's not helping you do what God wants you to do. This is a challenge. You say, I don't like this concept, Pastor. Well, first of all, I didn't write the book. So what do I care if you like it or not, right? You know, you're not getting upset with me. I didn't write the book. So has nothing to do with that. Plus, I'm going to also tell you that since God does know us better than we know us, if we do things God's way, do you think it's a better way? Absolutely. And the ultimate is that we, you know, so it is a challenge to let somebody lead and to follow them and trust God to help them get this figured out before they mess things up too badly, right? It's the same challenge we have with political leaders. Put yourself in that position for a moment. Think about it that way, right? God calls upon you and I to follow the leaders that he sets in place in our nation, right? We don't always agree with them. Many times, maybe most of the time, we think that they're leading us, you know, over the cliff, down the rabbit hole and everything else. And we feel like we're in really trouble. And yet, our job is servants, obey your masters, even the ones, did you catch what that verse said? Even the ones that aren't doing great things. Because anybody can suffer if you did wrong, but when you're suffering for doing right, that's the real spiritual challenge. And it's amazing to me that God describes suffering and then goes right on into saying, likewise, ye wives. I'm aware you gotta suffer to follow us. I know. This is just the truth of it. We're floundering around trying to figure out how to make all this work. We're not good at this yet. One day we will be, when we all get to heaven. You know, one day we will be. Until then, you just kind of have to follow us through life, muddling our way through it. It's not easy. But if we are going to lead, you must follow. And then the first one that we looked at, if we are going to love you, then you must be lovable. Now, listen up. This gets a challenge, all right? I know. The real truth is I'm supposed to love my wife even if she's not lovable. You know what the Bible says? Yes. And she's supposed to love me even if I'm not. She's supposed to follow me even if I'm not leading that great. You know, this is the challenge that God, in some ways I think God just has a sense of humor. I really do. Let's put these two people together and watch what happens. I mean, it's just, you know, God in our case, Melody's sitting right here, God took a really stubborn guy, stubborn, willful, guy, and put him with a really stubborn, willful woman and said, let's watch this work out. You know, it's like, but it's been great because it forces you to your knees. It forces you to depend on God because you begin to realize very soon that you can't do this on your own. And I'm guessing my marriage isn't that much different than anybody else's sitting here. Now, by the way, we have a wonderful marriage. I love my wife and we love each other and we enjoy living our lives. But, you know, I'm telling you, there have been along the way some moments that it was a real challenge to make this work. And so that's what we're looking at. So now we've come to this likewise statement, and God, through Peter, is going to speak directly to the wives about some things. And the first thing that he brings up, ladies, I didn't bring it up. God did. The first thing he brings up is, read verse 1 again. Tell me what it is. Well, it is subjection somewhat, but it is. Huh? Hold your tongue. Win him over without a word. Hold your tongue. Can I just say this? I'm just going to say it as honestly as I know how. I love you. You know I love you. But God knows how to deal with the things that are there, right? You know one of the hardest things for you ladies to do? Hold your tongue. Especially when it comes to us, right? It's just hard. It is. And yet God puts it right out there. Very first thing he says, if you want to make this thing work well, you got to learn to hold your tongue. Everything you think doesn't have to be spoken. And it is much better when God does the speaking. And you know, can I help you here? I really believe this happens a lot. That women get in the way of God trying to work with us. If the ladies got out of the way, God would slap us upside the head. But the problem is God has to slap you upside the head first because you're between us and God. You understand? You're interfering with the work that God wants to do. And one of the hardest things to do is just to hold your tongue. You know, because, I mean, and God puts it right out there. That's the first thing he says. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection is in there, but in tying all this, the whole section is going to be about being in subjection. How do you do that? hold your tongue. Let's go on, verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Okay, now we have this next thing, all right? So, rather than hearing it, rather than you telling him, what you need to do is show him. That's what chaste conversation means what? Remember? Way of life, okay? That word conversation in Scripture usually is used to describe the way we're living, not our words. Usually the word words and things like that are used to describe the way we speak. But it's our way of life. And so, ladies, here's the point. You know, you can say to him again and again and again and again, we ought to be reading our Bible and praying. Or you can just show him what you're doing. Chaste conversation. It's not easy to do. It requires you, ladies, to trust God. Now, here's the question I'm going to ask you. Do you believe that God wants to do a work in your husband's life? Do you believe that God wants to change him into the man that he ought to be and the father that he ought to be and et cetera, et cetera? You know how he's going to do that? Not by your words. He's going to do that by your conversation, by your chaste conversation, your way of life. The way you are giving that example. all of us have seen and heard stories of this over and over and over again, right? I think I've shared publicly many years ago about Mr. Kirchenbauer. How many years was it for your dad before he got? 14 years. His wife got saved, and she just, and the church was praying. I remember everybody praying for Mr. Kirchenbauer. It took years before he finally responded to the gospel. You know how he finally gets to respond to the gospel? By a wife who said, I'm going to close my mouth and live it. And by the way, for Mrs. Kirchenbauer closing her mouth, that's a challenge. I love her to death. She's a friend of mine. She stands about 3 feet tall, and she packs a powerful punch, you know. But, you know, I'm telling you, God had to do a work. But God had to do a work there in order for God to do a work in his heart. And it starts, ladies, often with you. How does he become that godly leader that you desire for your family? And God really, without apology, kind of puts a lot of that responsibility on you. He's not excusing us, right? You understand how authority works? So who will stand and give an account of what goes on in your home? You or your husband? Your husband. And God will not apologize to him either. And he will not be able to say, well, my wife wouldn't quit talking. God doesn't care. You know, God doesn't care. That's not the point that God's making here. That is not the point. You will not be able to hide behind her, guys. We will give an account of our home. Because that's what leadership is. So, ladies, this leader that God has given you is your protection. Do you understand that? He comes between you and God. And he is your protection. But, guys, we've got to do this. So this is how you help him. Is to close that mouth and begin to live out this life that God has called you to live. And then he goes on to say, coupled with fear. Huh? What is fear? Now, what is the fear of God? Give me a definition of the fear of God. Reverence. Respect. I will respect him when he earns it. Is that what the Bible's saying here? In fact, isn't it just the opposite? Didn't this guy start out being a guy that's not obeying the word? And God says to this woman, whose husband is not obeying the word, close your mouth and show him respect. Close your mouth and show him reverence. It is an amazing thing that people who are shown respect step up to the plate more often than not. Again, I'm not excusing us guys, all right? Every time I've failed to lead my family, it is my fault and my responsibility. The Bible says that very clearly in the book of James, right? Every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The devil doesn't make me sin, and my wife cannot make me sin. Not possible. I choose my own lust. I choose to sin. But, ladies, you are going to do multitude of wonderful things for your household if you'll embrace God's teaching here in 1 Peter 3. Less talking, more living it, and part of that living it is showing respect and reverence to Him as your husband, as the father of your children, as the office that God has given him in the leadership of your home. So the Bible says. Say, Pastor, we don't live in the dark ages anymore. Aren't you up with the times? We don't live like this anymore. Hello, I know that. Look around. It's obvious. Don't you think? Things are so much better now that we're out of the dark ages, aren't they? Hello? Stop. Think about this. We're plummeting into an abyss as a society because the home is a wreck. We don't understand what the home looks like. And it is challenging. I'm not pretending this isn't challenging. God, I know God has given all of us a job to do that doesn't fit within our nature. It's not you ladies' nature to talk less, live more, and show reverence. I mean, you'll show reverence and respect if he earns it. But that's not what the Bible says here. This is the unbelieving, or at least the backslidden, husband that's being spoken of here. He is not obeying the word. And this is how you draw that husband into a right relationship with God. And it's a powerful way to do it. Look at verse 3. Who's adorning? Now, whose adorning are we talking about? Ladies. All right, now listen, hear me out. This is not going to be a statement against makeup. It's not a statement against jewelry. And anybody who tells you that has an agenda. And they're not reading the scripture. That's not what this is about. It's not the negative that's being spoken about here. God is telling us, telling you ladies, how you're going to go about winning him. And God says, you're not going to win him with that kind of stuff. Because, listen, pretty, outwardly pretty women come a dime a dozen. If you don't believe me, look on the internet. No, don't do that. But you get they come a dime a dozen. That's not the point. God says, that's not how you're going to woo this guy to doing right. So the emphasis is not about like this is a negative statement against those things. It's simply God saying to the ladies, that's not how you're going to win him, right? So as we read it through, read what God is trying to say. Who's adorning? Let it not be that of the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. Verse 4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Ladies, you want to woo us to the very best kind of husband that we can be, the very best kind of father that we can be, less speaking, subjecting us yourself to our leadership, even if it's suffering, which God's already spoken of in the likewise portion, right? And you're going to have to suffer sometimes with our leadership. I know how this works, all right? So, and less speaking, more living it, showing reverence, showing respect, and ultimately focusing on the godly woman that God would have you to be. Become that, and we automatically start moving toward the Lord. It's just a crazy way it works, but it is. So it's an awesome responsibility. Go on to verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in, by the way, they did adorn themselves, but it's after that manner of holiness, in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as, I love this phrase. Now, this has been used, misused, and abused over the centuries for a long time, but even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Can I point this out to you, by the way? In Genesis 18, 6, 7, 8, someplace in there, maybe 12, someplace in there, Genesis 18, is the one place in the whole book of Genesis that the word Lord is used and not in reference to God. The word Lord is used here. And by the way, it is a different word, but it's translated Lord. Adonai is God. Yahweh is God. And I wrote this word down because I knew I would forget it. What is this word? Adon is how it's pronounced. Adon is the Hebrew word that is used the one time in Genesis 18. And this is where Sarah calls Abraham Lord. And she does. She calls him Lord, saying, "You're in charge." She calls him Lord, saying, "I'm showing you respect and reverence." She calls him Lord. And literally is saying, "I recognize the position that God has placed you in our home, in my life." And she calls him Lord and submits to his request. And he, by the way, guys, is making a request. Read it. He is making a request. The guy who takes this chapter, this passage, and tries to become the boss is really not paying attention to the last three Sundays that we talked about the guy's responsibility, right? Leader, lover, learner, or lover, leader, learner. That's not boss. That's not you bark out orders and everybody jumps. And the guy who tries to run his home that way is miserable with a miserable family. And a miserable, might I say, a miserable example of the love of Christ. So it doesn't look that way. But anyway, so she calls him Lord. And it goes on to say, "Ye are as long as ye, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any," and I love this phrase, "amazement." With any amazement. In other words, you don't let this responsibility be so daunting that you say, I couldn't accomplish this. I can't believe God is asking this of me. Right? Without any amazement. You say, "Wow, Pastor, you're really letting us have it." Well, I hope I've let us men have it too. I understand this, but the formula is really simple. I mean, it really is simple, and yet it's hard because it goes against what our nature is. But God gave us his Holy Spirit so that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And that includes, ladies, close your mouth, live it out, show reverence, submit yourself to him, and focus on that inward person of a meek and quiet spirit. And that will impact, that's the first one. We have a couple more for you ladies, but that is the first message as we look at tonight in how you ladies can have the greatest impact on your home. So, as with the men, our invitation is not here. All right? I'm not asking you to come forward. I'm asking you to go home and say, "Okay, God, you've challenged my heart. I want to be the wife that will help my husband, who I recognize isn't always obeying the word, who needs some help. I want to help him, and I want to help him become the godly man, husband, father, leader that you would have him to be. So God, since you know how to do this, I'm going to do it your way."